be seated.
It's a simple song, but I think one we'll sing some more over the next few months anyway. But just a powerful song as well, just talking about God's grace. But this morning we are going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, and I like that part where it said, it shines on me. You carried me when I couldn't get along, you were my eyes when I couldn't see. And we started last week with our our Thanksgiving series as we looked at faith, family, friends, and freedom. And I don't know if you've been thankful this week, especially when we got home and heard about what happened in Texas in the church. First thing I did was just thank the Lord for his protection, but just prayed for that church to be a testimony, and it has been. If you've seen them on the news, the vice president was down there, and again, I'm thankful for a vice president who knows Christ. I'm not sure about President Trump, but trust that he's surrounded himself with godly men. But what a testimony that church was, that they were going to continue to meet, and they don't know if they'll be back in that church building again, but the pastor had a message ready for his congregation this morning, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people just being at that church who were curious. So we want to trust that God's going to work in those lives. But I trust you've been thankful this week for what we spoke about then, our faith, thanking God for the rock that he is that we can trust in. Today I want to focus on the blessings of the Holy Spirit. I've just been thinking about that more so recently. The older I get, I think the more grateful I am for the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And we've talked about this in our men's Bible study, as we spoke about, I've been speaking about the invisible war. But the Holy Spirit is much more powerful, the one that's in us, than the one that's working in the world. And so I've been thinking about that. So there's a lot more that we could say about this, but we have seven things in your notes there. And if you don't have your notes, raise your hand. We'll get you a copy. But not a whole lot to fill in. Under number six, there's a little bit more to fill in. But we want to look at what the Holy Spirit is, and we want to be thankful this morning for this ministry of this one, this third one in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And perhaps you've never really stopped to think about what he does in our lives once we come to Christ. So let's commit this time to the Lord. Father, thank you for your grace. We're thankful for your Holy Spirit who works in our lives, that guides blind eyes, that opens blind eyes, that opens us to spiritual truths when we were blind and dead and lost. We pray, Lord, for a lost world, as the Rulies powerfully said, that the spiritual drought is just as real as the physical drought. And Lord, we see it around us in our own area. Lord, we see people so consumed with the things of the world and looking for answers in drugs and relationships and stuff in the world and not really giving you much time or consideration. We pray that you would work and just use your Holy Spirit to minister to hearts. And we'll give you the praise for what you're going to do in us. In Jesus' name, amen. So seven truths this morning. Again, this isn't by any means an exhaustive list, but just some things that I've been thinking about. So number one is the Holy Spirit reveals the Word. The Holy Spirit reveals the Word. And it says, I hope we can read this, being black. I always try white, and then it doesn't come up well, so I change it back to black, and we'll see, but I'll read it to you anyway. But out of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it says, no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. This verse is one that we use along with 2 Timothy 3:16 to say that the Bible is verbally inspired by God. It's the Holy Spirit takes the thoughts and intents of God and communicates that to each of the individual writers of Scripture. And he allows the writers to put their unique personality in the writing. Many people can tell that this is a letter from Paul. And they can tell by the personalities and some of the things that were written that John wrote this or Luke wrote this. Even other than just their name saying it. Some people can look at that, and I'm not as good at reading into that. But the Holy Spirit allowed man to take what he intended, the thoughts of God, and put their slant into it. but it guarantees that no man ever came up with the prophecies and words on their own. It says they were moved, or they were carried, or they were taught, or they were instructed, they were directed, much like a wind, the wind guides a sailboat. A boat that's being pushed along, it's like the Holy Spirit doing that. The Bible is always from cover to cover from God. It's not from man, and it's to be revered and to be trusted as it is God's word. If you want to turn in your Bible to, you don't have to, but I'm just going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. it says, "Yet we do not speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." In other words, Paul is saying here that the Holy Spirit gave us these words that we could have understood it, and people should have understood it, but they didn't. Because if they had understood what the Old Testament had been saying, they wouldn't have crucified Christ, because Christ was revealed in the Old Testament. But he says in verse 9, "But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, nor ear has not heard, and which has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. And then verse 10, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the direction. And then in verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, we read verses 6 to 10, but listen to what he says now in verse 13. "Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." This teaches us that the very heart, the very mind of God is revealed by the Holy Spirit. Paul said, "It's revealed to me, it's revealed to us." The very words that were selected by the Holy Spirit and recorded in the individual's personal style. That's what divine inspiration is talking about. It's not a robot. When Paul wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians and many other books in the New Testament, when Luke wrote what he wrote, when Moses wrote what he was able to put his personal style in the letter, but it was the very heart, the very mind, the very word of God. And the work of the Holy Spirit today is to take this word that is in so many different translations, and I don't know if any of you took that app that the Gideons brought. I have it on my phone now, and sometimes I'll just put it on, and I usually put it, this is the version I'm using now, is the English Standard Version. Those who study this say it's probably the best translation out. The ESV is available on the Gideon app, and I just have that on, and I just sometimes just plug it in and turn on my phone and have it read scripture to me. But I'm not sure if he said it's 1,200 different languages on that app that you can have it read. If you know Mandarin Chinese, feel free to listen to it in that. If you know Spanish, if you know Greek, feel free to choose any of those. But it's the Holy Spirit that's taken this Bible, this word, whatever version it is you use, whatever version you prefer, this is God's word to us. And God, through his Holy Spirit, will take what is written here and apply it to our lives. And in your notes there, I have a place for you to fill this out. He applies it to our lives so that we see God in it. We see God in it. We see Christ in it. One of the things we talk to our young people at the teen center about is that Christ is revealed on every page of the Bible. From beginning to end, it talks about Christ. Remember when we did The Story a couple years ago, that book, I know some of you weren't here with that, but there's a book called The Story, and it's really Genesis through Revelation. And remember the thing we said, history is really what? His story. From Genesis 1:1 through the end of Revelation, it's the story of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is taking this word that we read and should be reading every day and applying it so that we can see Christ revealed in it. So the Holy Spirit reveals the word, number one. The Holy Spirit guides our words. The Holy Spirit reveals the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit also guides our words. And I want you to think about that as we talk about this morning. Before the birth of John, you remember John the priest, forerunner to Jesus. Before he was born, his father Zacharias was given a message. And you remember he spent some time in the Christmas story. He was dumb and unable to speak because he questioned the angel's message. But it says, "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb." That's in Luke chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Zacharias is given this message about his son that is about to be born. And then when John was born, Zacharias delivered this message. Sorry, I put that up there wrong time. John delivered this message. He's talking to his son. He says, "And you, child," speaking to John, "you will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins." Zacharias was given this message before John was born. He questioned it because he was an old man and didn't think he could have a child in his old age, and his wife couldn't. But when the child was born and the Spirit of God fulfilled the promise of God to Zacharias and Elizabeth, Zacharias was able to give this message: "You, child, will be born." The Holy Spirit controlled the mouths of his biblical characters. You think about that. David spoke in the Old Testament as he was controlled by God. Paul preached as he was controlled by God. Peter, sometimes we question Peter's maturity sometimes, but he preached and he spoke as God gave him direction. And you know what? This is such an encouragement to me, because there's been times I question, is God really in control? Anybody ever read the book Tortured for Christ? Anybody at all ever read that? Okay. It's a story of Richard Wurmbrand. I read it as a kid. If you haven't read it, you can get it through Martyrs for Christ. And I have a couple copies upstairs if you'd like to read it. It's a short book, but it's a testimony of Richard Wurmbrand. I think he was a Polish captive, a pastor who was put in prison and tortured, literally tortured for Christ. And I remember reading that as a young boy, probably 12 or 13 years old was the first time I read it. And I wondered, God, what would I do if I was kidnapped, if I was beaten, if I was put in prison and said, "Deny Christ or die"? What would I do? And I really struggled with that as a kid, thinking, you know, God, I know I'd let you down. You know, I'm not strong enough to do that, and I'm sure I would deny you. Richard Wurmbrand spent 14 years in complete isolation, but beaten constantly for his faith, and yet he remained faithful to the Lord. And that book, Torture for Christ, has reached millions and millions. I don't know how many times it's been reprinted. I saw Richard Wurmbrand on TV a couple of times before he died, and when he got out, he was barely recognizable, skin and bones. But what a testimony of what God could do through a prisoner. And then I learned this verse when I was in school, and I want you to write it down. I think it's in your notes, or at least circle it on your notes there. Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. And what a promise this is to us. "When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say." See, that's what I was struggling with as a kid. I was thinking, God, if I'm ever kidnapped, I know I'm not going to be strong enough to not deny you. What would I say for you, God? And he says, "Do not worry about what you are to speak or in your defense or what you are to say." Verse 12, "For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you are to say." Isn't that a great verse? I thought I'd just pause it here for a moment and just giving us an opportunity to share. Let me just ask by a show of hands, how many of you have had an opportunity to speak to someone about Christ and they might have presented an argument and you had no idea when they started talking, "I don't know what to say. I have no answer for this." But then God gave you a word. God gave you a message, or God gave you a verse you had never thought about before. But maybe you had read it. But just by a show of hands, how many of you have seen God do that in your life? Isn't that amazing? That's that verse coming to fulfillment. Let me read it one more time. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, or friends who are just trying to trap you, it could be before anyone. Do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you are to say. I've seen this happen just over the last few weeks. Just people that have brought up some questions, and not trying to trap me, not trying to be ignorant, but just some deep emotional and physical problems. Some people that I know real well are going through some real trials, and they just keep asking, you know, why would God allow that? Why would your God? They know I'm a pastor. Why would your God permit this? And I don't always have an answer for that. But God has given some answers in those moments when I wouldn't have thought I had any idea what to say. God, I've seen this verse fulfilled. The Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you are to say. We saw by a show of hands that it's happened to us here. Aren't you thankful that the Holy Spirit guides your words, that it's not up to your training, that it's not up to your ability, that it's not up to your common sense? Because if it was up to my common sense to reach the world, the world will be lost. But the Holy Spirit will take our words. Number three, the Holy Spirit ministers to us. The Holy Spirit was part of the source of Christ's power when he ministered here on earth. Let me read this to you out of Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. It says, then a shoot will spring up from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from the roots will bear fruit. This is obviously speaking about Christ, Isaiah's prophecy about Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Jesus would claim this very thing when he read publicly from Isaiah. And Jesus' ministry in Luke chapter 4, if you want to turn there, Luke chapter 4, he's quoting Isaiah chapter 61. He says this, and the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me, Jesus speaking about himself, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. Paul would give the same explanation in the book of Acts in chapter 10, verse 38. He says, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God appointed him or anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And then listen to this, for God was with him. God the Holy Spirit was with Jesus. God the Holy Spirit ministered through Jesus. See, you and I today are instructed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not to grieve the Holy Spirit, not to do things to cause him to be literally grieving over our sin. But he ministers to us. Listen to this. This is out of Romans chapter 8, verses 25 to 26. It says, but if we hope for what we do not see, I use this, I think, when Cheryl and I were dating and we were going to be gone from each other for a little bit. This, and again, I know I misapplied this verse, but if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we eagerly wait for it. So I was thinking, I can't wait to see my future wife again. And I knew I loved that verse, but it's speaking about God. But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit ministers to us. And I want you to realize the same Holy Spirit who ministered to Jesus, that was prophesied by Isaiah, ministers to us today. He's available to us today. He wants to minister. He wants to succeed, us to succeed. He wants us to do our best. Let me ask you this morning, what's your need? What did you wake up this morning thinking, oh, I just am missing out on something. I have so many needs in my life. Do we depend more on the Holy Spirit or do we depend more on ourselves? So the Holy Spirit desires to minister to us. Number four, the Holy Spirit comforts us. The Holy Spirit comforts us. I often say, and you might too, when I know of a fellow Christian or a friend who goes through some devastating test, it could be the death of a loved one or a health issue or some financial crisis or a family problem, you probably have said the same thing. I don't know how someone can go through this without Christ. You ever said that or you ever thought that? I don't know how someone can go through this without the Lord. But if you've ever felt overwhelmed by a situation, perhaps you feel overwhelmed by a situation right now. Perhaps there's just things that are just weighing you down and you don't really see an answer. I want you to understand the Holy Spirit wants to comfort you. But imagine going through what you've gone through recently without Christ. A number of you have gone through some physical things. We prayed for Alyssa this morning. She's going to go through that surgery tomorrow with the Lord. Nancy went through the surgery with the Lord. Bonnie, the last couple years with that cough, I know she was frustrated with that, but the Lord was with her. The Lord comforts us. That's why the world only sees hopelessness. I've had so many people over the last number of months just say, man, this world is such a mess. And they're blaming the government or the administration. They're blaming the previous administration. They're blaming all kinds of issues, and all they see is hopelessness. There's nothing to give them hope, while believers have hope because this Holy Spirit, this comforter, ministers to our hearts. I have up here John 14:16. It says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper or comforter that he may be with you forever. Verse 26 says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. Are you in need of comfort today? Are you hurting? Are you struggling? Let me tell you, the remedy for that is spend time in God's Word, allow Him to reveal His Word to you, and then trust in the Holy Spirit to bring that comfort. You might say, well, where do I start? What passage should I start with in the Bible? I don't know. Pray, ask God to give you direction. Don't, I remember showing this movie to the teens one time. There was this guy trying to figure out how to study the Bible, so he just kind of flipped through the Bible and put his finger down and says, Judas went out and hung himself. And then he flipped through again and says, go and do likewise. Don't do that. Don't study the Word of God that way. Ask the Holy Spirit. Start in the Gospel of John. Start in Romans. Start in Romans chapter 8. If there's no condemnation in Christ. If you ever feel abandoned, understand that. But ask the Holy Spirit to use the Word of God to apply it to your life, to reveal the truth that you need, and then rest in the comfort that He offers you. But that's a ministry that the Holy Spirit is using every day in our lives. We need to be looking for it. Number five, the Holy Spirit gives us life. The Holy Spirit gives life. As believers, we know there's two births, and both of them are necessary to have eternal life. First, we must be born of water, the human birth experience. We see that. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again, can he? He's talking about the physical birth. And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You see, we enter human life through that first birth. Some of us are a lot of years away from that first birth, aren't we? Or a long, long, long time ago. Others, we just have some who have just been born here in the last few months. Some people from our church that we know. But we enter human life through this first birth. But Jesus talks about something that's so much more important is this new life that we come to. And it says, you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but is imperishable, That is through the living and enduring Word of God. The Holy Spirit gives life. Our parents give us the physical life. The Holy Spirit gives us eternal life. Number six, the Holy Spirit's jobs today. And all I do is I just have this, the lesson or his job and then the verses that are here. So number one, he teaches his children. He teaches his children. John 16:13, it says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." If you feel like you're not getting it, I read the Bible, I read this verse, I read this passage, it's just not getting it. The Holy Spirit's going to guide you into truth. If there's sin in your life, you need to confess it, because that, again, is one of the prerequisites, is we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. That we can't have known sin in our lives and expect the Holy Spirit to minister to us. But if we want to be taught, we depend on the Holy Spirit and claim that promise in John 16:13. God, guide me into truth this morning. Don't just make this a wasted time of just sitting here opening my Bible and going through the motions. Teach me this morning the truth you have for me. Letter B, number two, he gives witness that we are born again. He gives witness that we are born again. And Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let me ask this again. How many of you ever questioned, was I really sincere? I mean, there's things going on in my life, there's sin in my life that if I was really sincere, I wouldn't be doing this. Was I really born again? Anybody ever question that? Anybody ever question? Okay, there's nothing wrong with it. We've done it. If we ask this, how many times have we gone through the sinner's prayer? Probably at least 20 or 30 times for most of us, because I'm not sure that I really meant it that first time, or, you know, I'm still giving into the same sin that I was struggling with before I came to Christ. Or there's a bunch of new sins that I never even thought of before I came to Christ that I'm doing now. I always tell young people when they come to Christ, I try to give them a Bible or at least a New Testament, and I say, I want you to write this date. If you came to Christ today, write down November 12th, 2017. Let that be the benchmark, your mark in the sand that you can say, that's when I prayed. And then learn this verse, Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're the children of God. Because when that struggle comes, that, man, again, we've been talking about this in the invisible war. James McDonald. Chip Ingram. Chip Ingram says, you know, there's been times in his life he said, you know, you're a pastor. You're a pastor, Chip. You wouldn't be struggling with this. Are you really a Christian? So we all go through that, but we need to understand it's not the Spirit of God that causes us to question our salvation. It's the spirit of the world. And if we truly know Jesus Christ as our Savior, don't let the spirit of the world, Satan, cause you to flounder and to doubt. Tell Satan to get behind you and say, God, this is real, Satan. This verse, the Holy Spirit has assured me that I'm God's child. You can't touch me. Letter C, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He intercedes for us. He's praying for us right now. He's praying for you. It says, verse 26 of Romans chapter 8, in the same way, the Holy Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray as we should. And the Holy Spirit takes our weak, floundering prayers and takes them before the throne of God. Letter D, he convicts of sin. He convicts of sin. I trust you're seeing that. I trust that when you sin, and you know when you do it, that you don't just still go on as if everything's going fine, that there's some kind of a sense of failure in your life, that you gave into sin. Let the Holy Spirit convict you. Don't let Satan defeat you in it. Let the Holy Spirit convict you when you... What do we do? 1 John, when we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us. But the Holy Spirit's the one who does the convicting. John 16:8, in 9, he says, "And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me." That's the first conviction of when you know you're a sinner on the way to hell. But he convicts daily in our lives as believers. Letter E, he strengthens and encourages us. He strengthens and encourages us in Acts chapter 9. "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up, and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and it continued to increase." When the attacks from the world came against the early church, they didn't go out and buy weapons. They didn't trust in their government. They didn't trust in their president. They didn't trust in their pastor. They trusted in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one who built them up and encouraged them. Letter F, he sanctifies. That means he set us apart to do a work. Listen to this. It's in 1 Thessalonians 4. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Spirit to you." He set us apart to do a work for God. And the Holy Spirit is daily sanctifying us and purifying us. And then letter G, which we've kind of covered. He searches and reveals truth. He searches and reveals truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We read verses 1 to 10, but it says, "For who among you knows the thought of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, things which we also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those words taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one." Then verse 16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The Holy Spirit will show us the truth that he wants us to understand, that he wants us to apply. And that's what I said in your morning devotions, or whenever you have quiet time, spend time praying to the Holy Spirit, saying, "Teach me, reveal to me what I need to know today." And then the final one that we want to cover this morning is the Holy Spirit guarantees future blessings. The Holy Spirit guarantees future blessings. I love this. He is our pledge. He is our promise. He's our guarantee that this life isn't all we have. And I always think of this when I remind myself that our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're just passing through this world. That if this life is the best that Christians have, why believe? Why trust? If earth and the stuff that we have here is the best that we're going to get, we're pretty hopeless. But listen to what he says in Ephesians chapter 1. "In him you also have, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance," listen to this, "with a view, a forward view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory." The future is still a long ways off. I mean, it might not be a long way off, but it might be tomorrow, might be this afternoon. But as you go through this life, as you go through the struggles, realizing the Holy Spirit has set me apart. He sealed me with a view of something much, much greater. Think of the song, "I Can Only Imagine." And that's what we need to do. I can only imagine what heaven's going to be like. I can only imagine what it's going to be like to not have the physical aches and pains. And I can't complain. I don't have many. But I certainly have ministered with people and known people and loved people who had some heavy, heavy physical things that they're weighing, that weigh them down in this life. And And I remember my sister saying with the rheumatoid arthritis, she goes, I know, it's going to be great one day not having any pain, to be able to bend my fingers and my toes and be able to stand and to walk. Imagine that. But that's what he's saying here. It's a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. I was going to spend a few minutes, but our time's gone. I want you over this next week, maybe to write some notes to someone, but spend time focusing on what the Holy Spirit has done for you. Go back over this list. Maybe add some more things to your own list as you spend time praying to the Lord. But thank the Holy Spirit. Thank God for what the Holy Spirit does in your life. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for that job of conviction, the job of comforting, the job of revealing the Word of God to us. Lord, help us to be students of your Word. And Lord, to never be able to say that we just don't get it. We don't understand what you're trying to tell us, Lord. It's those times when we're that way that we have to look and say, am I doing something to Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and just sing this chorus, Spirit of the Living God. Stand together.